It's so much that when you begin to read and really get into what the Lord has to say in a passage like this, it thrills your soul that the Spirit of God will sometimes, He would all the time if we were open to His leading, I'm sure. It's thrilling for Him to speak to your heart and speak to your soul and awaken some thoughts in your heart that maybe you haven't had before. And that can happen with a passage like this. You start out thinking about shepherds, and it just leads from one point to another. And all the while, it just seems to get better, and it's thrilling. That's all you can say for it. And would to God we would spend more time in that kind of study and meditation on the Word of God. So let's read Psalm 23. Many of you have memorized this psalm. It means a lot to you. My earliest recollection of Psalm 23, I had one brother, and he was about 5 or 6 years old. An old gentleman that lived next door to us, he read his Bible. I don't know if he was a saved person or not, but he did read his Bible, and he spoke to us boys about the things of God in a general sense. I don't recall specifically anything he ever said, but he told my brother if he would memorize the 23rd Psalm, he would give him a nickel. And believe me, a nickel back then was really something. The things you could buy with a nickel. And my brother memorized the 23rd Psalm, and I kept, every time we'd get around him, I thought, why didn't he ask me? I can memorize the 23rd Psalm, but I didn't. I thought, I'm not going to waste that time unless he's going to pay me for it. So, but my brother memorized the 23rd Psalm. I remember years later, this was after he got saved, and I asked him one time, I said, Jack, you still remember the 23rd Psalm? He said, I do. I said, let me hear it. And he did. He still had that 23rd Psalm memorized. It's wonderful. The impact and the blessing that the Word of God can bring to you. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And shall we just bow again in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we do thank thee again for this, the Lord's Day, and we've been afforded a wonderful privilege of drawing aside as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. The fellowship one with another and with thyself is something that we treasure and value. Oh Lord, it enriches our lives to be with thee and to be with your people. And we praise thee and thank thee for this wonderful privilege. And we pray that, again, as we read these scriptures and as we think upon the things that the Spirit of God can generate in our own minds and hearts concerning the message that's before us, that it will indeed, again, Lord, enrich our lives, deepen our love for Thee and for Your people, give us a clearer understanding of the mind and the will of our God. Thank Thee for Your loving, protective care. Thank Thee for saving our souls. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son. It's in His precious name we ask this. Amen. So often, we like to simplify life and maybe reduce it down to just some little byline. Some people have mottos that they carry through life with them, and they remember those things. It seems to me that when you look at a passage like this, it causes you to think about a lot of things. And I know in reading this, I read something that one of the writers does a very able exposition on this. He said there are two things that you learn in life. You need to learn how to live and how to die. And we're doing the living now, and how are we doing it? We started out this morning by what you run across in bookstores when you don't know who or what you are. You're searching. It may be that you haven't arrived yet. You do not really fully understand what is the will of God for my life. I'm still searching. I'm not sure. Is this what He would have me to do? Is this the right way to do it? Could it be that I've been misled? It'd be a tragic thing to go through a whole life, and perhaps it'd be a long life, and you just never did seem to find out what it was all about. You know, the Apostle Paul, I said some people have a byline for their lives. He learned, it seems, early on what his life was all about. You know what I'm going to say. He said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. That's what my life is all about. I didn't begin to live until I met Him. But now, for me to live is Christ. He has the preeminent place. You know how He wrote those epistles to all of those believers, all of those churches, and indeed the emphasis that He was constantly setting before them. There's one person that should have first place in your life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got a throne room in your heart. He ought to be sitting right there on the throne. You should be filled with His Spirit and living your life for His glory and honor. Well, my first suggestion this morning was something that I read in that same book that asked the question, if you want to find out about these things, listen to what people say about you. I kind of disregarded that from the very beginning because sometimes what people say about you, you don't like, and it's not true. And so we kind of avoid those things. But I think the focus upon David, and it started out this morning when Bobby, he got on Psalm 51, and we have Psalm 32, and the life of David, and how important it was for him to be brought face to face with what his life was all about. And What was his relationship with the Lord? We know for a fact, because of the sin that touched his life, that relationship had been strained for a long time. And we know that the psalmist says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, he will not hear us. So I have to say, David was out of touch for a long time. And Bobby put emphasis upon that. This man committed adultery and murder. And I think we give that out to let anyone that happens to hear of what happened in David's life to be reminded that, have you committed murder? Have you committed adultery? Is there anything you have done that you think puts you outside that sphere of God reaching and touching your life and blessing you? I'm so happy we can report, no, there's no one. There is no unpardonable sin. Well, I'll have to say this. If you die without Christ, that is indeed a sad conclusion to your life here on the face of the earth. You lived and died without Christ in your life. And now you're going to spend eternity separated from Him. So that's a sad note when it comes to this matter of sin that's unconfessed. What we seek to focus people's minds upon in the course of life, in our individual witness and our testimony for Him, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, because it determines where you spend eternity. It prepares you for the presence of God. That's why it's so important. We sometimes feel that if I could just make it clearer, if I could just get the message across. But there again, we have to abandon any confidence in our own ability. We have to be reminded that some sow the seed, some water, but God gives the increase. It's a sovereign work of God. That's the way it worked in David's life. And so that's how we have this 23rd Psalm. David, certainly his testimony of one who needed forgiveness, one who recognized that he needed a shepherd. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with sheep and shepherds. We're sheep, aren't we? All we like sheep have gone astray. We're reminded of that. And God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, David gets us headed in the right direction in the very opening verse of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. We sought to review what his life was like as a shepherd boy. He was a shepherd. And certainly he knew what it meant to spend many, many lonely hours, days perhaps, separated from other people. And his whole attention was devoted to the care of those sheep that he was responsible for. Well, God wants to be our heavenly shepherd. He wants to take care of us. He created us. He loves to take care of us. And that day we develop such a kindred interest in his care for us that we say, yes, Lord, and I want you to take care of me. And I want to open myself up to whatever you want to do in my life. You know, all the barriers are down. I'm tired of living in spiritual darkness. I'm tired of living in ignorance, not knowing what life is all about. I want to know. I want to know. That thirst for knowledge, oh, it's great in the world today. My, knowledge has expanded to the point that it just grows by leaps and bounds what men are knowing today. Would to God that God's people had such a thirst for the knowledge that would enrich our lives and bless us, and we'd say, I want to know, like Paul, I want to know. I want to know him. I want to know him. He called that indescribable gift of God. So if it's indescribable, we just start exploring. What is it about this person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God? What is it about him that there's so much emphasis upon knowing him? Well, it starts out with trusting him as your Savior, and then you just grow in grace and knowledge of him for the rest of your life. And you learn how to live, and you're ready to die. You're ready to die. In fact, when he died, you died with him. Sometimes this recognition of what happened when he died upon that cross. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, we have David's life as a shepherd boy. But he needed to know the great shepherd of the sheep. Perhaps the experience of being a shepherd and caring for sheep prepared him as far as being open and ready to accept that kind of ministry from the Lord. Most of us have such a scant knowledge of what shepherding is all about. And I think it helps if you know and understand some of these things and apply them to those spiritual principles that are so important to making our lives, enriching our lives. This morning I mentioned the Apostle Paul and how he felt about God being in charge of his life. He was persuaded. Now, that's a good word. It's a strong word. He knew whom he had believed, and he was persuaded that he was able to keep what he had committed to him until that day. That brought us to wandering sheep. You see, when first we recognize that we need a shepherd, it becomes incumbent upon each one of us that we make a decision. I don't suppose the sheep, being dumb animals that they are, they didn't have any choice in their shepherd. They didn't have any say-so about it. But God gives us the choice to make. Who do you want to run your life? Who do you want to be in charge of your life? Who do you want to direct your life? Well, there again, applying the principle of looking after sheep and shepherding, I'd like God to take care of my life. I respect the authority, the power of my God. I know he loves me. I know he has nothing but my best interest at heart. I want him to be my shepherd. And so these words are born in the heart of a man that had some understanding, and now we benefit from this. His knowledge of shepherding and caring for sheep and his recognition that we need a heavenly shepherd, tonight we become the beneficiaries of all of that. And we stay with him. Yeah, I like that. I like that. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't it nice to acknowledge that? And in those quiet times that we spend closeted with him, to say, Lord, I like you being my shepherd. Oh, I delight having you to be my shepherd. I know, and as we've read these words, just six verses in number, but It just covers so much that's so important to life. You're not aware of just how much there is in this that we benefit from. It's so important to us as we live our lives day by day. So it starts out with wandering sheep. And we could go into a lot of detail about how we have tendencies that are sheep-like. We started out with that one about sheep wandering. They have a tendency to get lost. People by nature, like sheep, tend to get confused. I just don't know what it's all about. Oh, would to God I could figure this out. Oh, would to God I knew which direction to take. That seems sometimes to be the attitude of heart of so many people. Turn the light on. I've been in the dark. I want to walk in the light. These things become all important. I think the thing that makes you feel so good, you remember what it was like when you were walking in the dark. Well, I do. It was terrible. You can't see where you're going when you walk in the dark. But now we have the Word of God. It's like a lamp unto my foot. It's like a light unto my pathway. God, the heavenly shepherd, has now taken over my life, and I'm walking in the light. Light that He provides. And I have to remind you, he doesn't give you light to see all the way along this life pathway. Sometimes it's just one step at a time. That's all you need, isn't it? One day at a time, Lord. Just one day at a time. One step at a time, Lord. I'm out of the dark. I'm in the light. I have a heavenly shepherd that has provided that light. I like it. I enjoy it every day. We ought to tell Him we enjoy it too. We ought to say, Lord, I enjoy being in the light. Man, that trip in the darkness was bad. That was a bad experience. And just have some few thoughts and remember someone you know that's walking in the dark right now. And it's bad. And their lives, they're all confused. And they don't know where they're going. They don't know where their next step is going to take them. And they're on the broad road that leads down to destruction. Perhaps they have no idea of what the end result will be. It's just such a hopelessness about living in the dark. But oh, how wonderful it is to have spiritual life and enlightenment and walk in the light that God has provided. Oh, what a difference it makes. This is what life is all about. This is what God wanted us to find. This is His plan. This is His purpose. To deliver us from spiritual darkness. To give us spiritual life and fit us for His presence for all eternity. Now, I don't have to tell you. It's going to get better all the time. It's going to get better all the time. How wonderful it is. Seeing ourselves as God sees us, that's all important. And so often we have to be honest about the fact that we're not perfect yet, are we? We're not perfect yet. We have perfection in Him. We have righteousness put to our account. We're already seen as seated in heavenly places in Christ, but living down here is with limitations. It's the flesh, in case you don't know. The world, the flesh, and the devil, in case you don't know. Those things are not going for you, I'm telling you. And they can spoil things for you. so we know what failure and rebellion and sin is all about. Oh, don't get some exalted opinion about yourself as being above David, and I would never do that. Brother and sister, let me tell you something. You don't know what you might do before you leave this world. You just pray by the grace of God that I won't ever do that. Learn to hate what God hates. And learn to love what God loves. Man, that is all important. I mean, get on track. Get on track with God. Enjoy this new life that you have in Christ. Because God knows all about us. He provided the solution. Where there's repentance and confession, there's forgiveness. Every time. Every time. People come so timidly. I don't know if he would forgive me or not. Oh, but he will. Let me encourage you. With true repentance in your heart, confess your sin to him. He's faithful. He's so faithful. And he will forgive you. He will restore you. He will even forget that you ever sinned. He'll put any remembrance of that sin as far as the east is from the west. He won't ever bring it up again. He'll never resurrect it, that which has already been taken care of. Oh, our God is so pure and holy and righteous. And he does it just right. Thank God David recognized his need for forgiveness. He needed the heavenly shepherd to take care of him. This starts out with, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Well, do it God's way. Do it God's way. Be reconciled. Paul said he learned in the experiences of life to live on whatever plane God placed him in. Prosperity? I like that. Also, I learned how to cope with that. I can tunnel that. Where there was deep need, I learned how to handle that. Isn't that a sign of maturity in a person's life? How to handle the things in life. Sometimes things are kind of going up and down, and you learn how to cope with it. You learn how to handle it. That's God working in your life and in my life. Paul learned that. He had to. Brother Paul went through a lot of trying experiences. He learned that my God will meet my need, whatever it is. I shall not want, and I shall not lack anything. He could say, I will fear no evil. He could say, my cup runneth over. These are things that we're reading in this psalm. You know, we can be strong enough in the Lord to frighten wolves. The wolf is out there. The wolf is out there. But I tell you what. James makes a statement. It says, if you submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, you know what he'll do? He will flee from you. I do believe that Satan shakes and is fearful when God's people are on their faces before God praying and seeking God's help and guidance. That's the one time that Satan, no doubt, looks at you and me, and he sees us as a formidable foe, not because of what we are in ourselves, but what we are in the Lord. Paul said, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. These are evil days. You know that, don't you? We all know that. It seems like it's getting worse all the time. You know, we don't have much to encourage us about things getting any better. I'm thinking forward in time when things are going to get a whole lot better. It's when we're with him. And we think about that a lot. If you get old, you begin to think more and more about being with him. And you begin to envision what it's going to be like. Sometimes you will even search, looking for things that perhaps a younger person wouldn't look for. But because you are an old person and because you know that perhaps may not be much longer, he could call me at any time. Of course, he could call any one of us at any time. But you are aware that maybe life is just the way it's been described. It's such a brief thing. Well, it's just like a hand breath. It's just like the steam, the mist that rises up and disappears. The brevity of life begins to dawn upon you, and you're beginning to think about, may not be long before I'll be in his presence. And you can't help but think, what will that be like? What will that be like? Oh, that verse of scripture that says, when we see him, we shall be like him. And you know, we should aspire to that. If you want true greatness, if you want true greatness in your life, in the sight of God, be like him. You know, God, he has predestined each one of us to become just like him. You can start working on it now. You don't have to wait until you see him to be like him. Be like him now. You remember those fellows that went and visited and they were with the Lord Jesus, and when they came back, they said their friends and those said, they took note of one thing. He's been with Jesus. He's been with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, maybe the world would listen to us a little better, pay more attention to what we have to say, if they could see more of him in us. He's been with the Lord Jesus. That man, that woman, they walk with the Lord Jesus. He is their life. They focus upon him. This is not just some fanciful thing that brings them some kind of satisfaction in life. No, it's deeper than that. No, it's so much deeper than that. It's the will of God that we be like his son. That's what he wants. He wants every one of us to be just like him. And I can tell you this, we will be. We will be. You may not see much of him in me now, but one day I'll be just like him. And I don't want to forget that. And that inspires me. And I don't mind starting now, being like him. They say if you live a godly life in Christ Jesus, it'll cost you something. You'll be persecuted for it. Perhaps that's why a lot of people that we know are suffering such persecution and trial. There's so much of Christ evident in their lives. I haven't had any persecution. I don't know about you. I don't have anybody throwing rocks at me, saying too many bad things about me. But live that kind of godly life that is centered in Christ. More like the persecution. The world will take note of it. They don't like it. They don't like it. The world we live in today says some pretty hard things about those that trust the Lord Jesus and want to live for the glory of God. They don't say much nice. The news media, let's say it, they're not out to praise God. But I tell you, we claim to know the Lord. We claim to have him as our heavenly shepherd. He's the one that's taking care of us. He's the one that has saved our souls. He's the one that sustains us and keeps us right through this life. And if this world's ever going to hear about him, he'll hear about it from you and me. And in recent days, from this platform, some men have been telling us, brother and sister, we better get busy telling them. We better get busy telling them. They're not finding out about it. I thank God for BBN. At least over the airwaves, the realm of the God of this world, through these atmospheric heavens, these magic signals are going out. The gospel is being proclaimed. And souls are getting saved, too. We hear about it regularly. It'd be wonderful if God's people, we could experience the kind of revival that some of us have seen in the past, and we just go everywhere telling other people about the Lord Jesus. So alert for every opportunity, so prepared in heart and soul that we could speak with spiritual power to them about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seems like every man that gets on this platform and ministers to us, he brings it up. Had a good talk with a brother, Tom Taylor. He said, far as I'm concerned today, it looks like to me is one-on-one. If you want to see somebody saved, focus your attention on that person, love that person, witness to that person, pray for that person, do all that you can to win that soul for Christ. Man, if that would happen to us, each one of us in this room tonight, this number would double. It would double, each one of us. I just want a soul for Christ. I just played the role that God wanted me to play, to be a witness. Tom was talking about being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, an ambassador, he wants to represent his country. An ambassador represents the interest of somebody else. Our God is far more interested in souls being saved than we are. Let's say it. Let's say it like it is. We're too casual about these things. Let there be a hot fire burning in our hearts and souls. I will not be satisfied until I have borne witness and testimony to someone today about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these things, these little statements that I've been reading, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Oh, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Knows just where to lead us. Leads us by the still waters. All these things, you see pictures in your mind of a setting in which all of these things exist. And you can transfer that to a spiritual value in your life. That's what God does for you. We've got plenty to feed upon, brother. We've got plenty to refresh us from the Word of God. More of Christ ministered to my soul every day. He restores my soul. We've talked about that. You know, some people think that there are certain people that they get to the point in their spiritual life, some level or plateau of spiritual experience, they don't need restoring anymore. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. No. I've heard some men of God that I knew. He says, I'm drained. Oh, I'm so weary. So weary. Oh, I need to be refreshed. I've been giving out and giving out and giving out. I need to draw aside and refresh my spirit. Take in store some things that will bless my own soul. My own soul needs restoring. I'm so busy sometimes helping others that I may lose sight of the fact
I need restoring. I don't think any of us are experiencing that, but I think that's the way it really works. Restoreth my soul. The whole idea of God placing our feet upon the pathway of righteousness for His namesake is, you know, the name of our God should be reverenced. Here a while back we were talking about that name of God, Yahweh. And we were reminded of how devout Orthodox Jews are reluctant to even mention His name, to even whisper His name. Man, when I hear of how the world today uses the name of our God, they speak ill of our Savior sometimes. There's such boldness and brashness in sometimes just speaking out, voiced in opposition to any thought of a God that created everything and created us. And His name is not given that place of reverence, that awe and wonder that it deserves. And certainly our lives, if I'm not saying anything, at least my life, others should be able to see and know that brother, that man, that woman, they belong to God. Their walk, their manner of life, the way they live, they belong to God. That's the way God people live. That's the way Christians live. They ought to know it by the way we walk along the pathway of righteousness. We do it for His namesake. When you come to the matter of that valley of the shadow of death, I believe from all that I've read, I think most Bible teachers and scholars agree, this is the valley of the shadow of death that we're walking in today. It's just a shadow. The shadow of death is there. Death looms very real. It's the last enemy that's taken down. But we have victory. We have eternal life. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We fear no evil. We fear no evil. We don't fear the evil one. He has no power over us aside from what God allows to touch our lives. No evil. You know, the writer of Hebrews said, I will not fear what man does unto me. God is my helper. God is my helper. He's helping me. My heavenly shepherd, He's taking care of me. Oh, He takes good care of me. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Those are not very sophisticated things to be ministering to God's people with, but one is for correction and one is for protection. That's what the shepherd used them for in taking care of the sheep. God does the same thing with us. Thank God for it. He puts a rod to us. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your discipline. Thank You for ministering to me. It tells me You love me. You know, the Lord chastens those that He loves. He's not going to let us go too far astray before He puts us back on track. Thank God for that. And we think about the preparation of a table in the presence of our enemies. Seems like the enemy is on every side. Seems like it's harder and harder to find anyone that has a deep sense of sympathy for the proclaiming of the gospel, furthering the kingdom of God here upon the face of the earth. There's so much that has happened. The professing church is not in touch with God. The true church, the body of Christ, with Christ as its head, and Christ being honored, is still a minority group upon the face of the earth. Remember, a brother asked me one time, do you think there'll be more people in heaven than there are in hell? I said, I don't know. But I know one thing. Our God loves quality, not necessary quantity. And I'd rather have a little bit of something that's precious, something that has real value, than the sea filled with something that's worthless and of no value. Oh, yes, we have a table set before us in the presence of our enemies. I like that one statement that says, and my cup runs over. My cup runs over. Well, that tells you that there's plenty there and to spare. There's no lack with God of meeting every need. My cup runneth over. And thinking in terms of what it will be like to be with Him, that last verse of David's Psalm 23, surely, it's the truth. Surely, the goodness and the mercy of God, it will be with me throughout the whole course of my life. I want to do the will. I want to do the mind of God. That's His will. That's what I want. And His mercy and His goodness, it's flowing from Him to me in great abundance. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you get the note of finality to that? God's people are going to dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. That's where we're going to live. That's where we're going to spend eternity. Forever, forever, forever. With the God who loved us and the Savior who died for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again today for allowing us to come together in this fashion. Seems like it's an old-fashioned way. People gathering together around the Word of God. People that have a heart for the things of God. People that have trusted Your Son. People that love and honor Your Son in their lives. Want to live their lives for Your glory and honor. Lord, we have indeed had a blessed day. We're thankful that our Lord says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Something so important. And Lord, it's so important. I want you to love one another the same way I've loved you.